Welcome to Girl, How'd That Happen? Where the stories of successful female entrepreneurs unfold. I'm your host, Ashley Braswell, here to facilitate the conversation with some of our favorite female entrepreneurs. In each episode, we dive into the real journey of these ambitious women. They share not just successes, but the raw challenges and failures they have faced along the way. Whether you're just starting out or you know the ropes of business well, this podcast was made for you. Our guests value integrity, creativity, and resilience. They're here to offer not just inspiration, but practical tips and insights that align with the goal of building a business, yes, but more importantly, building a legacy. So join us as we say, girl, how'd that happen? Today's guest on the podcast has been really impactful in my life for business over the past 10 years, and I am so excited to have her on here so you guys can listen to her wisdom too. Her name is Abby Grace of Abby Grace Photo, and while my education with her started in the photography realm, I have actually learned so much more about balancing life and business from her. Today, she's actually talking about making pivots in business and some of the ways that her and her husband, Matt, who also works with her, have made those changes and just like the way they've prepared for them. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this. I know it was a super cool episode for me to record, and you're going to just love Abby. So let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Girl, How'd That Happen? Today we have Abby Grace. She is going to be joining us live in just a second. I am so excited to introduce you to Abby if you don't know her already, because she is like the most fun person in real life, and she's also incredibly talented, generous, and just the most gracious person in real life as well. Okay, this is my favorite thing about these podcast slash Instagram lives, is that I can see you in two places at once.
Yes. A little disorienting.
Yes, it is a little bit. But I really, really appreciate you coming on the live and being so gracious with like the weird kind of setup. We're trying it out. We'll see if all this works.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, perfect. So I was just telling everybody a little bit about you personality-wise. I was completely unaware that you're hilarious until I...
A better job of showcasing that side.
You know, I think when I first found you, you were like a very serious wedding photographer. And so I was like... Okay, this is going to be like a very serious woman, and you are not.
I'm serious when it matters, yes, but like it flips on a dime. Like we'll go from being like, so my assistant calls Real Talk Abby to like spitting song lyrics and Macklemore quotes. Like,
yes,
it's a vibe.
Your pop culture knowledge is fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should meet Matt. Matt's even faster. I'm better at like quotes. But Matt has, like, this endless, like, if he ever went on Jeopardy, he would crush it. I just am like, where did you, like, you'll be watching a movie, Matt and my husband, by the way, you'll be watching a movie and you're like, oh, it's like The Matrix 2. And you're like, why is it Tank the same actor? And Matt's like, oh, because he had a contract dispute and they couldn't come to a resolution in time. So they changed the actor for the second movie. And I'm like,
yeah.
Do you have, like, an input to the internet? Like, what is happening?
I love that so much. Well, I'm super pumped to have you on the show. When I made a post about you coming on, I just said a little bit about like the things you've already talked about online that you've been so gracious in sharing about your family and just your new addition that's coming. And I'm so freaking happy for you, which I know you already know because I literally cried when you told me, which is so fun.
It's fine.
So this podcast, and you probably already know this, but this podcast is all about really just showing people like that starting a business is very doable, and that sharing different stories about like how you got started in business and now you're so successful, and like that's my perspective of you, is that you're like this incredible, like successful, very established business owner. That's again my perspective, so I'm glad that you have that perspective.
I know when I say that sometimes people are like, oh, and I'm like, this is how I see you, so you can't take that away from me.
So I would, first of all, I would love for you to tell everyone a little bit about what you do, just in case they're not familiar with you. And then I would love to talk about how you got started in business, because I know you've had some pivots and changes over the years. And so I think it'll be really great.
Yeah. So I started my business in my college. It was my senior year of college. And I started out as a wedding photographer and like was obsessed with all things wedding. I had just taken this darkroom photography class, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with photography, I love weddings, how could I marry these two things together? And then I was majoring in public relations, so my degree is in PR and communications, which that doesn't come across as a big shocker to most people because I talk a lot, but started my photography business, worked for 2 years in the corporate industry while I was building momentum for my photography business, and then went full-time in 2012 and was like, had this goal of building up to like luxury weddings, like being an educator. Like I knew from the beginning that I wanted to be a teacher. And then around 2017, 2018, I started to feel this itch to like move away from the wedding industry. And so I had already been shooting brand sessions on the down low for a couple of years. And so we just kind of hit the gas on that. And in 2022, I shot my last wedding. And it's been, someone asked me today, they're like, do you miss it? And I was like, no, I don't. I mean, like, there's a part of, like, do I miss the boxed lunches that are handed to you at dinner that were made 3 days ago? No, I don't miss that part. But I do miss the beauty. Like, the beauty of it was so much fun, and the joy, and, like, being able to have that inside look at people. Like, you have a VIP front row seat to the best part of the wedding day. Like, that part was fun, but I, like, being able to prioritize our family, like, have the most beautiful weekend of weather at home with our family, or to go do, like, excursions is just such a joy, and especially as our family has continued to grow, it's been the right choice for us. And I'm also really good at branding, and I liked that it's not just the same thing week in and week out. It's not the same formula that weddings tend to be. So, yeah, that's the long and short of it, is how that started.
I love that so much. I feel like there's a lot of wedding photographers who start while they're in college. And part of me wonders if it's because you're so close, like everyone your age is kind of getting into that season. I know that was my case when I did it, but like, do you feel like that's what kind of drove you on?
Because I love wedding sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I love weddings. Brides are beautiful. Flowers. Like, oh, it's so romantic. And like, it was. It really, really was. And I was engaged when I started photographing. I was close to getting engaged when I started photographing weddings. Three of my roommates were engaged. Like, so yeah, we were in like wedding mindset. And I think that is part of what made me an effective wedding photographer, was that I was able to relate to where my brides were. Like when they were stressing out on wedding morning, I could come in and be like, girl, I totally get it. Like, I was really good at like channeling the energy, not from like a woo-woo perspective, but just from like reading the room and like helping to calm things down when they needed to be calm. And it was like, because I had been through it recently. Mm-hmm. But I think the older I got, and the further away from weddings than I moved, and this isn't true for all people, but the further away from weddings I moved, I think the less patient I was, because I had gained perspective on, like, we had started trying for a family. Like, I had a better understanding of grief. Like, there were, like, the things that became a big deal on wedding day or during wedding planning process, I just found myself having less patience for that, and realizing that's not necessarily fair to my clients to stay if I'm not 100% joyful to, like, I'm joyful to be here to serve you, but like, I'm less patient than I used to be. And maybe that's a sign that it's time to make an exit.
Listen, girl, I 100% get that. So it is a lot, and it's also very stressful, and there's a lot of responsibility and pressure on that job. So I totally get it. I would really like to hear about, because you talked about being in corporate for 2 years while you built up your wedding business and then going full time. I think, also, I did not know you went full-time, what did you say, 2015?
2012. So I graduated in 2010 and I went full-time 2012.
Okay, this is why I had that number, because I went full-time in 2015. Okay. And I remember you were a staple in the hot-on industry at that point. Like, you were, like, for me, I mean, I knew all about you. Granted, I lived in St. John, yeah, Virginia at the time, so maybe there's, like, some distance stuff there too, but that's crazy to me that you only went full-time in 2012. Because if you had told me that then, I would have been like, no, she's been doing this forever. Like,
again, glad it's working.
Yes. Well, this is the perspective for you. Okay, so what was I going to ask you? Oh, when you went full-time, what was it like? And it, also, I kind of feel like you did the same thing when you went wedding to branding. Mm-hmm. I've heard you talk about the slow transition that you made over. I feel like that would be really helpful for people to, A, are coming out of something like corporate and moving into their own business, or B, are thinking about transitioning from one phase of business to the other, or one type of business to another. Can you just talk about like a little bit of that balance, maybe?
Yeah. Well, first of all, my parents were terrified when I told them, and I was married, you know,
like, Matt and I had been married for like a year and a half when I decided to go full time. And it was actually Matt that was pushing me to go full time, because he could see how tired I was. Like, I remember we were standing in a Wegmans parking lot, which is a grocery store, at like 9:30 at night, and he had asked me a question, a simple decision, like, what do you want to do for something this weekend? And I just burst into tears, because I was like, I honestly like can't make any more decisions. Like, I'm so tired. I need to go home and do like 3 hours of editing, and then I've got to go back to work tomorrow. And that was like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And so we had a plan as an exit plan of wanting to have about 50 to 75% of the business needed already on the books before I left my corporate job. So if I wanted to book 20 weddings that year total, then I needed to have 10 to 15 weddings on the books before I could put in my notice. And we were at like 62% that year when I finally did put in my notice. And so it was not this like drastic. And the logic there was, with the additional 40 hours a week that I would then have to build the business, I could make up the difference because I'd have more time to market, more time to build, all of that. And so it was not an overnight decision. It was something we had been working towards for like a year and a half at that point. And I was very lucky that, I mean, I was at a point in time in my life where like all my friends are getting married. And so the business grew quickly because I was an easy reference to make. And so that was like, the illustration I've given before is if you ever learned how to drive stick shift, you're switching gears, or you're trying to go from neutral into first or from park into first. You punch the clutch in, you put the car into first gear, and then you slowly push down on the accelerator as you slowly release the clutch. It's like these two things happening at one time. And then when you feel the gear catch, you can accelerate faster and release the clutch. So like, okay, now all of a sudden we've got some momentum, let's go. But it's a very slow pivot at first, and it feels like it takes forever. And so we did the same thing when moving from weddings into branding. I shot my first branding session in 2016 for Natalie Frank. And then someone else, Jasmine Starr, referred to someone in 2017. They were like, hi, I found you. Jasmine Starr sent me your way. And I was like, sorry, how many celebrity status? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like, it started to like pick up momentum, and we weren't really marketing it all that hard. But as we realized, I was like, oh, momentum is picking up here. And I'm starting to feel this itch to leave the wedding industry. Like, what would happen if we actually hit the gas on branding? And so in 2019, we officially launched the offer, like added it to my website, started talking better on social media. We still with like the 5-year plan being to stop shooting weddings. And then COVID hit. And like, all of our wedding bookings came to almost a screeching halt, and branding took off like a shot. So it was almost like the accelerator accelerated for itself. But it was still like we didn't make the call to pull completely out of weddings until we saw that branding was starting to make up a higher and higher percentage of our yearly income. Love that. I love that. And it's so interesting how you talk about that and the percentages and like the very statistical way that you and Matt have looked at it. And for anyone who doesn't know, Matt is, he's full-time in your business as well, right? So what does Matt do? Because I know, but everyone
probably doesn't know.
So Matt is my business manager. He does all of the, he doesn't quite do the admin stuff because we have a VA who does like emails and contracts and stuff like that. But Matt does the implementation. So I would say I'm the dreamer, he's the doer. But Matt is also learning to be more and more of a dreamer. And if anyone's listening and is like, oh, I wish that my spouse works with me, but they're just not wired that way. Like, they can learn to be people. Like, creativity, I had Wendy Coughlin on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about how creativity is a muscle that you can learn to work more. And it's been so encouraging to see Matt go from this project manager, not super, like, not creative at all type of position into, he pitched me on a new product last week that I'm like, yeah, that could totally work.
That's awesome.
So he started out doing admin. He started out doing emails and contracts. And like, if we had an idea for a course, I would create the material and then he would put it in, like, he would implement it. And so he does that, like the organizational integrational side of our business. But it's also been cool, again, to like watch him start to dream and start to be really creative. And that creativity looks very different from how mine does. And so I think at first he discounted it, that like, oh, well, that doesn't look like traditional creativity. So it's been cool to be challenged like that.
I love that.
So when you were really switching gears in your business, you had someone else who was helping you like see it from the perspective of numbers and percentages and profit margins and stuff like that. Because when a lot of people, myself included, make shifts like this full time, at least for me, I'm very like emotion based. And I think that for me, it's a privilege to be emotion-based because my husband works a regular W-2 job. So I have not a fallback plan, but we won't go hungry plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the background. And so I can make those impulse decisions on that. But I don't think that's the reality for a lot of people. And I really love that you had specific things you were looking for in that, and things, I don't know what the word is really, like a trigger, like something that was like, when we get to here, we will do this.
Yeah, it was very logic based because like money has always been a huge source of insecurity for me. Like I didn't grow up, but like, I mean, I grew up in poverty. And so there's always this fear of, oh my gosh, like, what if we run out of money? And so in order to make big financial decisions, like me going full time with brand photography, or sorry, me going full time with my photography business, period, the decision to give up $15,000 wedding collection, that had to be based in logic, because otherwise I would have been under a rock. So when we brought Matt on as my business partner in 2016, we looked at the amount that he was making per year at his project management position. Or no. So he went full time with me in 2016, but he was still doing a couple of days a week remote work for them. And so then when COVID hit, I had been so loath to give up those 2 days a week of remote work that he was doing. So I was like the safety net. But when we looked at the numbers, we were like, he's making 16% of our income, but sacrificing 40% of his hours in order to do it. That's not a safety net. That's a handicap. Like that's something that's holding us back. And that, like, when you look at it logically, like, Ashlyn Carter always says, she goes, facts don't care about your feelings. And it's like, well, I might feel very attached to this part-time work that Matt's doing because it gives me the illusion of safety. But, like, actually, if we're sacrificing two-fifths of his work hours in order to make, like, how much more impact could he have? Like, of course he'd be spending 30% of his time to make 16% of our money. That doesn't make any sense. And so sometimes when we take a look at those numbers, it actually gives us a reprieve instead of condemning us, because we realize we make decisions based on emotion when logic would actually free us.
Oh my gosh, that's like a whole, you should like build a talk around that actually, because that is incredible. There's been so many times I've heard you speak and I was like my perspective was just way adjusted on things. I am always so scared of looking at numbers, which thank goodness my sister is full time with me now and she handles all of this, but it is terrifying to me. Because I'm afraid I'm going to look at it, even like taxes or anything, and it's going to be like, oh, you were bankrupt.
Well, that's telling you you can't pay your mortgage this month. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Because I had a similar upbringing to you, but my coming out of that for me is avoidance. And I just think, it'll go away if I don't look at it. I don't see it. But I definitely stayed doing weddings for probably longer than I should have. And because Facebook ads were way, it was like, 2 or 3 weddings in 1 month of Facebook ad, income. And so I saw that, but I didn't actually do the specifics on it. I just saw that Facebook ads were bringing in more business for me. So that was my shift. And I really think this is a God thing, but my last wedding was January of 2020.
Felix, our firstborn was born in August of 2019. And I remember both of our boys were adopted, and I remember leaving for the wedding. He was 13 days old, and we pulled away from the house, crying my eyes out. I'm like, I can't believe I'm leaving my 2-week-old son home to go shoot a wedding. And like, I don't regret honoring this commitment that I made to my couple, because I made this commitment more than a year ago. But like, this is one of those stake in the ground, like put a pin in it type of moment. This is not sustainable. Like something's got to change. And then COVID hit 6 months later, and we had also, it was like, I already made a decision in my heart that I knew that we wanted to start moving away from weddings. I just thought it was going to take a lot longer. The decision was made for us that timeline was going to be accelerated. But like, it was really scary. Like, I remember we had this one day in like April of 2020 where we got 3 emails in one morning from our brides. One of them was straight up canceling her wedding. So there was like a $5,000 remainder fee that was just gone. One of them was pushing to the next year. And then I think another one was also pushing to the next year. And so that all of that income was deferred. And it's like, what are we going to do? And for Matt and I, we found like when our backs are against the wall, especially when it comes to finances, like we get creative. It's just scary to be in the moment between, oh shoot, my back's been pushed up against the wall and I'm not quite sure how this is going to resolve yet. But it always does, because it has to.
Yeah.
If it doesn't resolve, then we go and get a job for somebody else. And that's not a solution.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
No, absolutely. But I think if push came to shove and you were that, like, I think that's still an availability to you. Like, you still have the knowledge, the information, the resources to do that. So that's a really good point as well. I also think that sometimes that discomfort and the backs against the wall that you were just talking about can really lead us to some of the most incredible pivots that we take in our businesses as well. And I would even argue in life, I feel like, at least this has been my experience, that if I will choose to make myself uncomfortable in something, I will find myself growing exponentially. And on the flip side of that, if I don't choose it, it's going to be chosen for me. Like, it's happening either way. It's kind of like working out, you know? Like, do you want to work out and choose your pain now? Or do you want to, like, be, like, frail later in life? Or, you know, like, not in as good shape later in life? So there's pain on either side of it. But are you going to choose your pain or let someone else choose it for you?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember who said the quote. Like, I use the desktop blocker. I think it's called newsfeed blockers. And it blocks my Facebook newsfeed. So when I pull up Facebook, it, instead of showing me like everyone's activity, it shows an inspirational quote. And one of the inspirational quotes is like, comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. And I was like, oh, that hit me right in the gut. Like, when I stay in my comfort zone, like, I might be successful in that comfort zone and I might be able to maintain, but like, things aren't going to grow the way that they could if I was willing to step outside of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. The growth takes discomfort for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about this earlier, actually, on another podcast, that there is also something to be said about choosing not to grow or choosing to stay at a level that you're at. Because this girl and I were talking about how we had both grown agencies and that was a choice that we made to grow an agency, but we also could have chosen to not grow an agency and maintain a lesser amount of revenue, but not necessarily a lesser amount of profit, just because of when you get bigger, there's more outgoing expenses.
Yep.
And so I think that's an interesting paradox in my mind too. I feel like we're told we always have to be growing and grow, 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 grow as fast as you can, as big as you can. And I don't know that that's necessarily has to
no.
be for everyone.
I think there's something really beautiful and really noble about saying, like, looking around and saying, like, this, like, I'm happy. This is, I don't need more. I think that both ends of the spectrum are okay. Like, it's okay to strive for more if that's where you feel like you've been called. If you're like, I was given these gifts and I know I can impact more people with them. But then there's also something really cool and really peaceful about being able to say, like, I set out to start this business to provide for my family, and I'm doing just that. Like, I want to be able to pay for a really good Disney vacation every year and fund my kids' college funds, and I'm doing that. And I don't need to scale, and I don't need to bring on associates. Like, all that's going to do is bring on an increased amount of work and an increased amount of stress. And that's like, what's the end game here is to provide for this lifestyle that I already have, that my business already supplying. And so it's that Shanna Skidmore talks about it a lot, like finding your enough number. What is your enough number? What is enough? Getting very, because we don't specify what's enough. Our human nature will propel us to keep chasing more and more and more. And just because you have more doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be more satisfied. And satisfaction comes in recognizing what is actually the end point here. And when you reached it, not just necessarily throw your hands up and say, I quit, but just say, like, this is good. And I'm going to exercise self-control to not chase what everyone else is chasing because I don't need it. Good for them, not for me.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. I think that's not talked about enough. I really don't. I feel like it's such a great concept. And kind of to go along with that too is when you define what success means to you, instead of chasing the level of success of other people, like chasing the six-figure year, chasing the, you know, $15,000 packages, if you can just say, I'm successful if I have done whatever, I made this amount of money or had impacted this amount of couples or done whatever, I feel like that is also very, very peaceful. And I'm more of like a grower, because I'm 3 on the Enneagram, and I'm like very, very like, let's go, type A.
Yeah.
And sometimes it bites me in the butt and I'm like, is this worth it? Because I'm literally up at 2 a.m. right now, just like killing myself because I've overcommitted because people were willing to pay me. Like, is this, it's okay.
Yeah.
So for me, that turned into an agency to buy back my time. And that's been great. And I think I really feel like this is what I'm called to do, is to be able to impact my team members and pour into them as well as what I personally do. But with photography, I just think, take a sec, you know, like take a beat. What
Yeah.
What is really what you want? And are you chasing the wrong thing maybe for you personally?
Yeah.
I love that so much. Okay. So this has been the best conversation. I have one final question for you. Is there anything that you would do differently if you were starting over today? And if there's not, what would be like your basic game plan to get started again?
If I were going back to the beginning, I would learn the and I could like tell myself something or start or like, because of a different mindset, it would be with keep your eyes on your own paper, figure out what is enough, and then work based off of that. So what is the, I like begin with the end in mind, where are we trying to go and why? And it's okay for that target to change. Like if you start out thinking, oh, I just want to be like the best luxury wedding photographer in Virginia. And then as you grow, you realize, oh, I want to be an educator. Actually, I don't want to be a wedding photographer anymore. That's okay for that target to change, but that know what it is that you're working towards instead of just changing more, chasing more all the time. And then also banish your ego. That is like a daily battle for me to not take things so personally, that it isn't like often when something doesn't succeed, that it's not about me. It's not a reflection of Abby or have been. But then that there's a lot more to learn there. So I need to like remove the emotions and remove the ego from the matter, because I've not been very good at that historically. I've taken failures very personally, and it steals time. It steals days, sometimes weeks of productivity, because I get in my own head about things. So I don't know if that's a helpful lesson at all, like banish your ego and try not to be so emotional about things. But that's the biggest.
Well, it's also really hard, like especially when you're starting out and you don't know, you just have this big dream that you're gonna do, and it feels so important and so like just like your whole world is filled with it, right? Because you're so close to it. And it's hard to, at least it was for me, to pull myself back from that. Like I ate, slept, and breathed weddings.
Yeah.
Like that was it. And it was good until it wasn't. And it's not that it wasn't good for the bride and groom. It was good until it wasn't good for me. And so I think that is one of the best takeaways from watching you do this, because you did this switch over. I was starting to see you doing it as I was exiting the wedding photography side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so impactful to share these kinds of stories, because I was watching you. I was watching Ashlyn when she had her like dual business, you know, with like calligraphy and copywriting. I was watching her very closely because I was also trying to build a dual business. And it gives permission, I think, to other people when you just take the risk and do it. You're like, listen, this is what's best for me. Like, she basically shut down her calligraphy side and went all in on copywriting. I was like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can shut this down and do something different. And then to see you, what you were doing, it just like affirmed to me like, hey, it's okay to make a change in your business. It doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't mean anything like bad or good, you know, and it's like morally neutral.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard concept too, is like having something that's morally neutral and just making a decision based off of facts, like you said.
Yeah. Like till death do us part is a commitment that our couples make to one another. It's not a commitment I ever made to my business. Like I don't have to vote just because you started out doing one thing doesn't mean that you have to do that for the rest of your days, or that if you change direction that somehow it means the one that you started off with wasn't working out well. It just means your life changed. Like for us, we chose to lead weddings because it was a combination of like lifestyle. Like my family was growing and my business needed to adapt with that, because we started a business to enable a life that we love. And when the business and the life became incompatible, the business was the one that needed to change. And then there was also a side of me that I was just like, as I got further and further into the luxury wedding market, I was just like, I want to be here. Like it turned out to be something different than what I thought it was. And both of those reasons are okay reasons to change. You just need to know why you're changing and where it is that you're going. So if you're not happy with your present circumstance, where is, like, instead of floundering and like throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks, try to get really clear on, okay, well, if this isn't working, what could I translate my capital that I've already built up, this momentum, this like reputation that I have, where can I aim this that it's going to have the biggest impact, instead of getting started in something that doesn't have to mean starting over. You just need to know where it is you're going.
Absolutely. I think too that you were talking earlier about how you didn't say this specifically, but building relationships, it to me, when you were talking about that, you did a session with Natalie Frank, and then somehow Jasmine Starr found out about you. Was there,
yeah, I still don't know how that happened.
Maybe she saw Natalie's and she was like, oh, this girl's good. Like, I'm putting her on my list.
I can figure. Only thing.
I love that. Also, Natalie Frank has came up on almost every single episode of this podcast.
She's a wonderful human being and everyone loves her.
She is.
As they should.
As they should. Absolutely. But I wonder too, like, I feel like building relationships is a huge part too of gaining confidence and being able to maybe have someone outside of yourself just affirm, like, hey, you can do more than this, or you, not that there's anything wrong with whatever you're doing personally, but you can do something different if that's what you choose to do. And again, you're not a failure if you stop doing something. Like, you're just making a pivot. This is, we're human. This is life. This is how it works. It's okay. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, you can make a pivot. So I love
that. Yeah. Well, you think about people in the corporate world all the time. Like, one of my favorite relatives was the, like, president of advertising for Duracell. And then he moved over to Oral-B, and then from Oral-B to Tempur-Pedic. And then, like, I'm sure that those were really heavy decisions that he made as he was going from one company to the next. But, like, then it was okay. That was what was in the best interest of his family. Like, that was what was in the best interest of his career. And so if people can do that with a job that is at Wayne and the VP of a company or the president of a company, like, you can do that with your small business. And it may feel scarier because it's so personal, but it's doable. And when your back's against the wall, you will get creative because we have to. That's what being a small business owner is. It's being a nimble marketer. It's being able to pivot on a dime and things aren't working. And that's the highs are really high as a small business, and the lows are really low. But if you have decided that the lowest of the low is worth what it took to get to the highest of the high, then you stay. And if it's not, then you get out. And that's so okay too. Closing down a business is not the sign that you weren't cut out for this. It just maybe means, like, the season has changed and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think one of the reasons that it was really hard for me to make the decision, again, I am not a numbers person, but I mean, I am in some capacity. People are like, you're not a numbers person and you're in, like, advertising.
Yeah.
Figure that out. I'm good with that. Just not money numbers. But it was hard for me. I lost my train of thought. Oh, I got it. Because I had made my business my whole personality. It was like Ashley, the wedding photographer. And that was a lot of it for me, because it is, I think it's similar. It doesn't have to be your business, but like you, Ashley, the mom, Ashley, the wife, Ashley, the whatever. I really allowed myself to be self-branded as this one piece of me. And
one dimensional.
Yeah. And we're not one dimensional people.
Yep.
Like, that's one of the wonderful things about being a human. And the fact that you are Abby Grace, you are the Abby Grace, as we heard on the last podcast, the Abby Grace. It is like, you are not wedding photographer Abby Grace or branding photographer Abby Grace or whatever other pieces. I feel like to know you is to see so many, like, facets of you. And it makes, like, you as a person more attractive and someone people want to be around and really just, like, magnetizing. And it also makes you as a business owner, in my opinion, I'm like, wow, Abby knows a lot because she's done two very different things. She's transitioned into business. Like, I'm going to take her advice. Like, if she says something, I'm really going to take that to heart. And not even about wedding photography. Like, I've heard you speak on email signatures. I've heard you speak on focus and productivity. I've heard you recommend books. And I go buy the books.
I trust you.
You know, like, yeah. You built that trust over time. And I just think that's so beautiful. And if someone new into business is watching this and they're like, I don't want to switch my business. I love my business. Maybe what you should take away from this is that it is less about, not less, but in addition to marketing your own business, maybe you should focus on building trust with your people too. So
yeah, I don't know. But speaking of book recommendations, I was literally just talking to someone about this morning, the idea of pivoting careers. And I was like, you have to read the book So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. Have you read
it? No, I haven't. But I know you love Cal Newport, so I feel like I need to.
So good. It's a book about, like, hey, you want to, like, you're unhappy in your job and you want to maybe change industries entirely. Here's how to take what he calls career capital and apply it toward wherever you're going next. And that there's got to be overlap somewhere. So, like, if you're like, well, I'm a hedge fund manager on Wall Street. I don't know if that's like a... Do people manage hedge funds on Wall Street? I'm sorry.
I don't know any
investment.
Or so, well, there you go.
Probably. hedge fund manager on Wall Street, and I'm going to give up my career to go open a yoga studio. Crossover there, you know? But if you're like, well, I'm a hedge fund manager, and I've always dreamed of, I don't know, starting my own financial consulting business, or I dreamed about doing something like Shanna Skinward of, like, advising small business owners on finances. Like, there's enough overlap there where you can transfer your capital from one to the next. So it, like you were saying, it's less about the actual thing that you do and more about understanding, like, the gifts and the strengths that lend to your ability to be so good at that thing, so that if you ever do decide you want to withdraw your career capital from one industry and move to another, you know exactly which gifts and strengths you're working off of, as opposed to, I'm a wedding photographer, that's all I know how to do. It's like, no, you're good with people. You understand systems. You understand the human body. Like, you know how to make people comfortable in their own skin. Like, there's so much of that. There's a reason that when I moved from weddings to branding, it was a very smooth transition because there was a lot of overlap. But I took what I knew about weddings and applied it to branding and was successful that much more quickly because I wasn't starting over.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes so much sense. I think about, like, your lighting knowledge and just, like, so many pieces of it. And even a hedge fund manager, I think if they wanted to open a yoga studio, like, what about, like, managing the money of the yoga studio? Like, seeing how things can, like, grow. I don't know. I just think there's probably a lot more overlap than people realize with, like,
yeah,
everything. Well, this was, like, the most wonderful conversation, Abby. And an unexpected twists and turns, which I love so much. Can you tell everyone where they can find you at?
Yeah, if you are into podcasts, which I'm guessing you are because you're listening to this one or you're watching the Instagram Live, I do a podcast called The Artisan CE. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, everywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Grace.
I love that so much. And make sure it's photo, not photography, because I have made that mistake. I love it so much. Okay, well, Abby, thank you so much for being on. I hope everyone enjoyed it. And I'm sure we will talk again very soon.
Okay. Thanks, Ashley.
You've been listening to Girl, How'd That Happen? With your host, me, Ashley Bradswell. If you liked this episode, then we would love it if you would share it with your biz bestie. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode with Abby Grace of Abby Grace Photography. I hope that you enjoyed it and found some takeaways. I know that I certainly did. Abby is reachable on Instagram at Abby Grace Photo, and then you can also find her on her website, which we will link below, as well as her podcast, which is a really cool podcast concept. And yours truly even has an episode on there if you want to go check it out. So I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will see you next week.